Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We are Baltimore Positive. This is a football week. It is a football month. It's Crab Cake Month. Maryland Crab Cake Tour back out on the road beginning Tuesday the 16th. We're going to be at the Beaumont in Catonsville, where I have overlooked the lamb chops during the tastiness countdown brought to you by Curio Wellness. But I have not overlooked the lottery tickets. I still have a handful of Pressure Lux and Lucky Sevens. But on Tuesday, I will have the new Raven scratch-offs. They're in-house. It's all happening. Roz has got me all hooked up. John Martin is run off trying to get the Guardians into the playoffs. Meanwhile, Seth Falcon has come in here crowing about the Steelers 1-0 victory, but I do have an Oriole Pirate story for Seth, and we have a very special segment this month because September brings on football, and football brings on gambling. And gambling, now that it's legal, and as I always say to John, I say to you, Seth, on the up and up for everyone here in the state, and it's so easy to do. I go back to maybe 1973, 74 when I saw my first Flintstones episode, and bet, 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 bet. So I never had the betting thing, but I've had so many people in my life battle with this when they were dealing with Louis the bookmaker who made the salads down in Little Italy, and certainly problematic. Seth, I want to welcome you. And Seth Elkin is our recurring cast member here. He does all things communicating for the Maryland Lottery. We have a good time. We talk about games, we talk about promotions. Certainly, it was a lot of fun watching my wife trying to hit that $1.8 billion last week, Seth. But we're going to welcome Will Hinman in. We're going to be talking about some things. But I want to give you a little bit of oxygen because this is an important segment, I know, to you. But $1.8 billion, we had local winners here. You know, at least somebody around here won $1 million, right?
Yeah, we had a long Powerball jackpot roll that lasted for 3 months that came to an end with winning tickets, two winning tickets, one in Texas and one in Missouri, splitting that jackpot that came in just shy of $1.8 billion. It was the third largest Powerball jackpot that there's ever been. So a big deal for Powerball, a big deal for us. And we had, as you mentioned, plenty of prizes. We had, during the course of this jackpot roll that lasted for 3 months, 37 winning tickets that won at least $50,000 on Powerball during that time, including three $1 million winners, one of which was just last week in Pikesville. That prize has not yet been claimed at the Pikesville BP on Reisterstown Road. It was sold, so we're waiting to greet that winner and have some fun celebrating with them. But lots of sales and lots of prizes. There were about $13.4 million in player prizes that were won in Maryland during that jackpot roll, and we estimate about $14.5 million in contribution to the state just from the sale of Powerball tickets during those last 3 months. Doesn't count any other type of ticket that we've sold. So it's a win all the way around when a big jackpot roll happens.
Well, I want to welcome Will Hinman into the conversation here with Seth Elkin from the Maryland Lottery. September is Responsible Gaming Education Month. Big mouthful of things. Just to say that, you know, everybody knows somebody who has had a problem or was gambling a lot long before all of this became available on an app with all sorts of propositions and prepositions and percentages to win, all of which were broken on the opening game where the Ravens played the Buffalo Bills, where I can't imagine having money on it. My heart was involved in it, and everybody else. I'm around here doing purple therapy on Monday morning. Seth, talk about this, what you do every September, and we're only a couple of years into this, and I've been doing sports radio 35 years here, right? And I did point spreads, pick'ems. I did it on national radio. I did a television show with Buddy Ryan and Lawrence Taylor many years ago where pigskins and point spreads were a thing. But from the Maryland Lottery's perspective, this is very, very new. Online wagering in this country's new. I remember when the Costa Ricans were always trying to call me, get me to do ads that would cost me my FCC license many years ago. But from the state's perspective and taking care of people who have problems, this is where we step in right here, right now, after a bad beat in week one, although the Steelers won on your behalf, that we step in and we talk about being really responsible about this and being grown-ups about this, right?
Now, as you mentioned, September is designated as Responsible Gaming Education Month. It's a program that's sponsored by the American Gaming Association, which is the trade organization that represents casinos and sports betting operators. And it's intended to be an educational opportunity, which is something that we've embraced year-round around here. We certainly shine a light on it right now because of RG Education Month, but It's something that we're always emphasizing in all of our interactions with players. We want people to understand the nature of the games they're playing, understand the rules, understand the odds. It's always a lot more fun. Any kind of game that you're playing, even if it's a board game, you're going to have a lot more fun if you understand how it works and understand the potential harms that can happen when you gamble. And that's where Will comes in. As you mentioned, Will Hinman is one of the five peer counselors at the Maryland Center of Excellence on Problem Gambling. And he and a couple other members of the team there came in a number of months ago and did a presentation for our communications team to talk to us about these issues and educate us about things that we can be maintaining an awareness of as we're talking to people. And a really valuable opportunity for us. And Will and the other four counselors are providing a tremendous resource for the state. So it's a great opportunity to have him on and have him provide some insights about the things that they are hearing and the things that they can impart to people from an educational perspective. So I'm really glad that he was able to join us today.
Well, I love this, and I would do this over crab cake with you at the Beaumont if you wish, in future, Will, because it's an ongoing issue, and it's sort of like my colonoscopy segments with GBMC. It's an ongoing issue for dudes. You need to keep the awareness out there for people. But I'll say this. I'm not a gambler. People that listen to me know, but I know a lot of people. I took a lot of phone calls from a lot of people that, and when I met you, even before we came on, we're talking about the football game this week and how crazy the ending was. And I've said to John Martin over the last couple of years, and Seth as well, and Carol before that, hey, you call this 800 line, what do you get? You know what I mean? Sometimes I have a hard time getting a hotel reservation or calling an 800 line to think that I'm going to get on put on hold to get whatever, right? We get someone like you, don't we, Will Hyman?
Exactly. Like Seth said, I'm Will Hinman. I'm the peer supervisor at the Maryland Center of Excellence on Problem Gambling. We currently have four peers. We actually just lost our fifth peer. He retired, so we are looking to hire actually two peers. If anybody has 2 years in recovery, lived experience in recovery from disorder gambling, they're welcome to reach out to us because we are hiring two more peers. But we are all people with lived experience in recovery from a gambling disorder. I started gambling at around the age of 19, 20 years old. I was a student at the University of Maryland. Got introduced to my first bookie. I took my first trip to the casino at 21 years old. If you could place a wager on it, I would put money on it. Like the way I looked at it back then, if you didn't have money on the line, like what's the point in doing it? You know what I mean?
I knew 100 guys like you, brother. I mean, I'm the sports guy. I was in every sports bar. I was on buses back and forth, hearing the chatter, taking the phone calls, and I was always like Marvin Lewis, whom I've been communicating with regularly lately because we've just been friends forever, taught me football in 1996. He took me in to try to teach me. We were trying to teach Raven fans to not cheer on offense. Like literally, we had a new team, and you sound like you're a local guy. Maybe you remember all this when the Ravens came to town. And Marvin would watch film with me every Friday, and with Jim Schwartz, who was his assistant, who went on to do his own thing. He's going to try to beat the Ravens this week. And they would have the film up on the old projectors and the old pull down the thing, and it's literally 1996. And we'd watch games, and I remember him vividly. The 1996 Ravens were. They would either they'd score 40, but they'd give up 50. They had no defense, and they had all sorts of turnovers. Was slinging, Vinny's throwing the balls up in the air, and it was a play where like Stevon Moore, the ball just moves. It's like a football Follies move, and the ball moved, and the ball bounced, and the ball bounced. And Marvin looked at me. He's like, I can't believe people bet on this. He's like, it's just like I don't know what's going to happen, and I coach these guys every day, and I wouldn't bet on it because I have no idea whether they're going to win or lose week to week. And once I heard that 30 years later, and having been around the game in that way, I've met so many regular people who think I got an edge. I know something. I called this guy at the 800 number with the stuff in his hair back in the USA Today in the 90s. And I remember all of that. And it's just been something really foreign to me until someone has a problem, until it wrecks their life, it wrecks their marriage, wrrecks their employment status with me. I've had things happen where I just identify it as they've got a problem and they call you. And I've asked, all right, so they call you. What happens? I call you, and my problem is My marriage, my credit card, my house, my life, my job, my kids, my mental health, quite frankly, is that's what happens. That's what you find by the time somebody calls you, they probably have a bigger problem than they're even willing to admit they have, right?
Yeah, it's usually gotten real bad. And a lot of people don't know that disorder gambling has the highest risk of suicide of any other addiction. They say 50% of disorder gamblers will have thoughts of suicide. One in five will actually put in a plan to take their life. So it's pretty serious. And I'm one of those people. At the end of my run, I had a plan in place to take my life. Casino gambling is what took me down. There was a casino 13 minutes from my house. I was struggling with alcoholism, separated from my wife, and I turned gambling into an escape, which turned to a complete disaster, which is why we tell people not to gamble if they may be at high risk, struggling with loneliness, grief or loss, substance use, mental health, or if they're, going through a major life transition or, struggling financially. Don't gamble. Don't turn to gambling as a solution. Gambling's not intended to be a solution. It's intended to be a form of entertainment. And that's all we stress. We don't oppose gambling at the center. We just want to make sure people are keeping it fun and safe and that they know that their resources are available should it become a problem. But yes, if they call the 1-800 gambler helpline number, they stabilize the person. First thing they ask them is whether they're suicidal. They put a plan in place, a safe plan if they are suicidal, and they get them
Right here,
stable.
right now, when the
Right
minute
there,
they
right now.
call.
Yeah,
Okay.
they're asking them all the screening questions, what medications they're on, is there a history of mental illness, history of trauma. They're screening them for us and make sure they're stabilized. And then what they do is they say, would you like to talk to someone with lived experience in recovery from a gambling disorder? And that's when they warm transfer for them to one of us. So I cover Southern Maryland, which is Howard County, Prince George's, Charles, Calvert, and St. Mary's County. If somebody calls the 1-800 gambler helpline number from that region, they will warm transfer them to me. And at that point, I'm able to have the conversation. And you can almost hear them breathe because, first they're answering those screening questions. Well, then they get to talk to someone that understands the lingo, understands the language, understands what it's like to just lose their paycheck, to be chasing their losses, to be separated from their wives or their spouses or whatever, or if it's a child that's, they're getting heat from their parents, whatever it is, I'm able to relate on all those levels, and I struggle with mental health. I struggle with substance use, so I can understand on a lot of different levels. And usually gambling doesn't happen in a box. There's usually a dual addiction or a co-occurring or a history of trauma or something major, some major life transition going on in that person's life. That's why they always say addiction is usually just a symptom of something else going on. You got to get to the underlying conditions. But it
Well,
turns.
and then there's, God, I mean, you're sitting here talking, and I swear, over a cup of coffee here this morning, I'm just thinking of this person and that guy and that guy and that guy and that guy and that, like, and it's all guys in my world over 35 years. I took a lot of phone calls. I made a lot of picks. I had a lot of people calling me, "Hey, nasty, who you like? Who you got? Who do you think?" They thought I knew something that maybe they didn't know, and maybe I did. I mean, I guess I was perceived as an expert on the radio that if I gave them a tip or something like that. And look, I grew up around the horse track thing too, right? Worked at the paper in the 80s. I glorify Charlie Ekman and Clem Florio, but that whole I know something more. I can read the form. I can get an edge. I'm going to have an edge that nobody else has. And then the thought of doing it every single day as an obsession in some way. I don't know how many days at the track's too many. 4 days a week. I don't know how many days at a casino in a row, or you get back from one and you're thinking of going to the next one, or if you're chasing losses. I remember Monday Night Football. I'd always hear a lot about that. You're not the first trauma counselor I've had on in 35 years of radio, but this is certainly something different when it's become legal and we do it on behalf of the Maryland Lottery and it benefits people here. I often wonder. This the modern part of this and the part where the apps tell you to slow down, right? And the apps are built this way, and there's so much awareness, and we're going to talk about it, that by the time somebody calls you, they're not just doing the betting the way I was when my dad would bring a pool card home and I'd circle five, give $5 trying to win $30 or something. That was just a goof. It wasn't going to change my life. It was just gave me a reason to root for Iowa on a Saturday afternoon or something like that. But I have experienced in my line of work over 35 years, just people that I looked at and thought, Oh my God, I wouldn't want to think about this the way you do, because it would just lead to, I had two alcoholic parents, and but by the time somebody calls you, what are you seeing and hearing in the modern era where all of this is set up to create slow down? I tell people to slow down. Everybody, there's signs everywhere telling people to slow down. You can't. You know that, right? You can't. Like when an addiction, I've learned that about addiction in any, whether it's opioids. I do lots of educational with the awareness, and trying to educate myself, trying to become smarter as I get older to say, what could I have done for any of that guy, that guy, that guy, that guy, that guy, because they weren't going to listen to me. I promise you. When I think of these names and faces of these real humans in my life that definitely needed to call you at some point, probably still do, that once this thing opened up, oh my God, I shudder to think how I get that person there before they're desperate enough that they're calling you in darkness.
Yeah, I mean, prevention is the answer to that. And we're trying to get in the schools and educate, the high schoolers now, before they get to that age where they really start gambling. Because I think college is a lot of times where they find it. But to answer your question, by the time they get to us, usually they've been chasing their losses, and a lot of times they're calling after they just ran out of money. And you'll hear most gamblers will say that it's real easy to stop when we have no money, when we just blew our paycheck. But what happens 2 weeks later when we get that next paycheck and we're behind on our bills? Do you try to chase your losses more and try to get back that money so you can pay your bills, or do you call it quits? And I think that's the hardest thing for a gambler to do, is to accept their losses, and that's what I really try to have that conversation. And I say, look, I know it's the toughest thing for us to do is accept our losses. Who wants to accept the fact that you got to dig yourself out, sometimes thousands of dollars in debt? You know what I mean? But that's the answer. Gambling in any form should not be considered a solution. And the sooner you accept it as not a solution, the better off your life is going to be.
What kind of
Yeah, Will, I
calls?
want to
Go
follow up on
ahead,
something.
Seth. I'm sorry.
I was going to
Apologies.
actually follow up on something that you said, Nestor, where you're talking about people that you know that you have relationships with in your life who you know needed to make that call. And you don't, I think one of the most difficult things is a lot of people probably are in that situation and they don't know how to help that person that they know may be struggling. And I wonder, Will, if you've got insights, because I'm sure you're getting calls. I know, in fact, I've heard from you that you're getting calls from parents
Yes.
of young people, of college students. How do, and even if it's not a college student, when you get a call from somebody who's trying to help someone in their life, what guidance do you have for them? Because I imagine getting that conversation started has got to be one of the most complicated things. If you go about it the wrong way, they're going to dig in their heels and it's going to be counterproductive, isn't it? What do you say to those people?
Thank you so much for mentioning that, Seth, because I wanted to talk about the parents too. And a lot of times it is the parents these days reaching out, and they're, it's usually moms a lot of times because they want to fix it. And it's usually young adult males that they're trying to fix, and they think they can fix the problem, but they have to, first of all, accept the fact that a gambling addiction is just like a drug addiction. Once we lose the ability to control it, I mean, it is a cunning and baffling addiction. So accept that fact. A lot of people get angry with the gambler, thinking, you can just stop. Why don't you just stop? Can somebody just stop doing drugs or drinking alcohol when they're, in the grasp of the addiction? It's the same thing with gambling. Once we've lost the ability to stop, and once we're chasing those losses, it gets really, really ugly. And a lot of times it's way worse behind the scenes than we're admitting. We're concealing the losses. We're trying to hide them. We're trying to finagle any way to get money to try to win back those losses. And, we don't want to tell people. We don't want to be honest with it. And I think that's what makes gambling addiction so dangerous too, is it's much easier to conceal than a drug addiction or an alcohol addiction, because we're not slurring our words, we're not stumbling. So a lot of times there's no physical signs. Something's going on, but you just don't know what. And I think that's why it's got such a high risk of suicide too.
Well, by the way, Will Hinman's here. Seth Elkin is here from the Maryland Lottery. Seth is a recurring cast figure here, and we always talk lottery issues and serious issues. And Will's over at the University of Maryland. I'm gonna give him a chance to give the number. We talk, we 1-800-GAMBLE. We give the number all the time. But I wanted to say this because I've been out with a lot of people with alcohol issues. I was Bud Light sponsored and Coors Light sponsored, Miller Light sponsored, and I'll be at Union Brewing this week with the 75 Colts, just to let everybody know that I'm still old school. I'll just say this: I'm in a bar, somebody's had four drinks, five drinks, they're getting off the rail, they're gonna have a hangover, they're doing stuff they shouldn't, saying stuff they shouldn't. I'm that guy now at 56 that would be the guy, and probably always was, say, Hey man, get a glass of water. Slow your roll a little bit. You know, I can see it. I can feel it. It's a little, hey, it's 10 o'clock, man. We get, you know, you're driving, you know, all of those sort of things that protect friends, right? When you're out. And even when you're in Ocean City and you're walking back, I'm just sort of like, hey man, you know, gotta get up tomorrow with the kids or whatever it is, slowing people down. The gambling thing for me, I have to pause for a minute because I'm thinking of these humans. They're all real humans to me. They're people I knew. I don't necessarily know them all at this point anymore. But like, I wouldn't even know where to have started as a friend, as a boss or a potential boss or a potential client. I had a lot of clients. My God, I had clients that, you know, were advertisers here, and their whole jam was, it's all they talked to me about was gambling. And that kind of tells me, like, we got a lot of things we could talk about in life, about the Ravens especially too. I talk about offense, defense especially, but when you come up to me and the premise to talk to me is about gambling, I'm assuming you're doing a whole lot more than I'm doing, which is still none on football. So but I didn't know where to even begin. And these were people really intimate in my life at various points to say, dude, watch, can you get your jam in any other way? Can you just watch the game without having money on it? And most of the time, the answer to that was no. I mean, like literally, now do I call that an addiction? What do I call that? And how do I present to a grown ass man, you know, when I say to him, hey, dude, put $100 on the Indiana Pacers tonight? It's Tuesday and you're doing this three times a week? Yeah, man, I'm, you know, professional gambler. You know what? Whatever they would, I know more. I know you know a lot. Yeah, right. Sure. Right. I don't know where I would touch that across, and I'm 57 now, and even examining it, if it came in the door right now, I tell them to call you because I don't know what I'm doing, right? That's what I would do. But making them call you is different than telling them to call you.
Absolutely. I mean, they have to be ready. And you hit so many, you both you and Seth hit so many great points. I used to wake up every single morning, print out my lines, do my research, circle my plays for the day. I
God, I
made
knew
it about
you. I knew
6:30.
you. I knew you. You know what you wanted to do in life? Do sports radio. You wanted to send me a resume and get a gig with me. And then I would
Yeah,
meet
probably
you.
should.
I would meet you and you'd have a notebook full of gambling stuff. And I'd say, I can't put you in a locker room.
Now, here's
You
the
know what I mean? Literally, that's the first thing I'd say. I can't put you in a locker room.
thing,
No, you can't talk to Joe Flacco this week. You just can't.
though, Seth.
Sorry.
But I really did not turn to gambling as a financial solution. Okay. I was an adrenaline junkie. My friends used to call me an adrenaline. I was an action junkie. Okay. I love the action. I love playing the board. I tried for 24 years to find that outside angle, just like you said earlier.
What's the biggest win you ever had? Did you win 50 grand in
Well,
a day,
it's
100
funny, the
grand a
biggest
day?
win I
Because
ever had.
when you can win like that, because I got horse racing guys like Dick Girardi and like serious people that have been in my life my whole life. Every year I asked him, you're behind, right? And they're like, no, I'm ahead. And these are horse racing guys that have done it for 40 years. And I'm like, but they've hit trifecta to $1.3 million. You know, they've done all of that. And they like really kind of know horses better than anybody I've ever met because they've studied it all of their lives. But this is a different level. I haven't met anybody that tells me they're ahead from football gambling.
Well, I was a professional blackjack player, and my biggest win was the last day at the casino, when I was going to kill myself, and I lost it all back in less than a shoe. You know what I mean? Because we're all going to go on our hot runs, but what happens when our runs go cold? Do we have the ability to stop? And a gambler is always pressing their bets, thinking it's going to come around, it's going to come around, and by that time, there was not going to be a big enough winning to make any dream come true for me. You know what I mean? There was not enough money and there was not enough time. And I want to really stress to gamblers too, not just to think about the money, but also think about the time. Because I destroyed my first marriage, not because of the money I lost. It was the preoccupation on sports gambling. Like I said, I was
You
a
love gambling more than her.
absolutely, I was preoccupied with it all the time. I was a Ravens season ticket holder for 10 years. I was a Washington Wizards season ticket holder for 6 years when Michael Jordan came back. I was at the games all the time. If I wasn't at the games, I was up at the bars watching the games. If I wasn't up at the bars, I was down in the basement watching the games. You know, it was like having an affair,
Now,
basically.
tell me about your life with your bookie. I've never had a bookie. I don't think I've really known a bookie, although I probably have. You know what I mean? Through life, but I didn't have a guy. If anybody would have said to me, "I want to make a bet," in 1998, 2003, 6, 8, I literally, if the FBI asked me, I literally didn't know that guy. Still don't know that guy. But I'm thinking that guy's got a gun. I mean, I've always thought that, and I always thought like, that's not a guy you want to owe $500 to if you don't have it.
So there are bookies like that. My bookie actually ended up being my best friend. I had two bookies, actually three over the years, and they were all three friends of mine. So most bookies aren't going to break your legs. They're going to accept their losses. You know, they don't want to go to jail. You know what I mean? But they'll do everything they can to try to put heat on you to pay. And I know a lot of guys that bet over their heads and end up not being able to pay, and the bookie just had to accept that. But my bookie and I used to stay up till 5 o'clock in the morning playing NBA Live 98. This tells you how far back it goes. And we would play for $100 a game. I'd be the Utah Jazz with John Stockton. He'd be the Bulls with Michael Jordan, and we would go at it till 5 o'clock in the morning. And I got my first condo with my wife. I got it right in the same apartment complex as my bookie. So you can imagine how well that worked with my marriage. Not well at all. I get in the
Dude,
bed.
it's bad enough you're betting on the real Indiana Pacers and the real watching the Washington Wizards. I'm sorry about that. That was the worst bet you ever made, probably on that. But Will Hinman is here, and I mean your life experience it clearly begets the kind of experience you would need for any of these men that I've known. That if they called me tomorrow on their in desperation, and if you're out there and you know who you are, call me. I'll get you help. I will. You know, I mean, believe me, like I know people who either have called or should have called, and I don't think they could ever stop. You know what I mean? Like that's the thing. 10, 15, 20 years later, these humans, I knew them well enough around me, around sports, and around their habits and what was important to them. You know what I mean? Like it was that important that it was the most important thing that they talked about most of the time.
And let me answer yours and Seth's question because I don't feel like I really have. So if you're trying to have the conversation, first of all, listen empathetically. Choose the right time to have the conversation. You probably don't want to talk to them in the middle of the game when they got big money on the line. Talk to them after a loss when they're open to talking. Talk to them empathetically and let them know there's resources available. We are very fortunate to live in a state that is very wealthy in resources for problem gambling. We have no cost treatment in Maryland for any Maryland resident that's negatively impacted by problem gambling. So that includes family members, spouses, parents. So at least we can get them in the hands of a counselor, that they can get the support they need until the gambler's ready to address their gambling problem. And obviously, it's available for the person with the gambling addiction as well. We have peers that work with the family members as well, because like I said, a lot of times it's the families reaching out, or the supporter, you know, the person trying to help, a friend like you reaching out first. But let them know there's a lot of resources available. There's no cost treatment. There's lots of support groups now for problem gambling. There's even a young person's meeting, 35 and under preferred meeting. There's two of those available every week for the younger person that's trying to get into
Are those
recovery.
online, or that you come to
Online,
you're
you know,
online? Okay.
it's Zoom, and there's meetings across the state available in person if they prefer in person. There's a women's preferred meeting available. There's a newcomers meeting available. There's all kinds of meetings available depending on, you know, everybody's got their own flavor for recovery, but we introduce them to all the options. You know, so there's a lot of, and there's, if they need financial resources, or they're behind on their taxes, or if they're about to get, you know, evicted from their apartments, or their mortgage is, you know, getting foreclosed on, we'll introduce them to all the resources we can to help them on the road to recovery so they don't have to turn back to gambling as a solution.
The Maryland Center of Excellence for Problem Gambling. Will Hinman is here. Seth Elkin is also riding shotgun here, and I'll bring Seth back into this. Seth, from the lottery's perspective in the state, and where John Martin sits in this chair and you sit in this chair, I remember you were trying to get this out, right? And all the gamblers were yelling because you can do it in this state, you can't do it here. Get it online. The casinos rolled it out. I mean, I've been at this a long, long time trying to just get slot machines in the racetracks. I mean, through all of this, we've been at this 30 years waiting to put it on. When Will says that this state is rich with resources to help, I think that this was sort of every politician's nightmare, and anybody that was going to vote for it, yay, nay, in Annapolis, whether they were on the side of righteousness this way or that way. And that could be for any of the vices, be it alcohol, cannabis, any of these things. What's the downside, and how are we going to have treatment, and how's it going to be set up? And I want to give you some oxygen to talk about it because, like, you've been around the lottery a long time. John's been around there a long time. All this sort of rolled in, and I know. This was a big, big part of, yeah, we're going to make money on it. Yeah, it needs to be in the up and up. Yeah, we're going to have operators, and a lot of them are going to have licenses and this, and we're going to have all these. But then there's going to be this part of this. And you guys did not go into this blindly, correct?
Yeah, we wanted to make sure that that the treatment component was there, the educational component was there, and there's been a long history even before sports betting launched, a long history of interaction between the lottery and the Center of Excellence on Problem Gambling. So a lot of cooperation and collaboration that's happened there. In fact, we just earlier this year produced a series of videos that are aimed at shining a light on vulnerable populations. And Will and some of the other peers appeared in those videos. You can find them on the Responsible Play page of the lottery website. They're aimed at raising awareness about how gambling can impact youths and seniors and veterans and rural communities. These four were communities that I think the Center of Excellence identified as areas that they really wanted to target and make sure that the message was getting out, that the help is available. As Will said, there is free counseling available. There's free services available to anyone who's a Maryland resident. So that was something that was always very important to us. And then, of course, the educational component is very important to us as well. We try as best we can when people are contacting us, we're trying to make sure you know, here's where you can go to find the rules. Here's where you can go to understand how these things work. Here's where you can go to find help. Here's where you can go to enroll in the voluntary exclusion program, which is available, something that we run that you can enroll in and use it as a tool to incentivize yourself to ease your the amount of gambling that you're doing or to stop gambling. It's not intended to be the one and only tool that people use. It's intended to be a one tool of self-help that's part of a broader package of things that you do if you're trying to gain control over your gambling. But it is something you can do to enroll in self-exclusion, to incentivize yourself to say, hey, I now have a reason to stay away from this because I know I need to slow your roll, as the phrase that you use quite a bit. So I
Will,
think that,
go ahead.
yep, no, I just think that there's a whole package of things and something that we are increasingly paying attention to as time goes on.
Will, the word treatment, you know what I mean? Like every drug addict and alcohol addict I've ever known, other than, AA meetings, they go away, they hang out somewhere in a little house in the woods somewhere, and they sit and think about things and they get educated and they dry out, like, right? I think we're all kind of familiar with that treatment in one way or another. We've all had a friend who's had a friend or known someone or even just seen a movie, about what that's about. I don't know about this. Like, I don't know. Like, okay, so they call and you help them get their taxes and they're not suicidal anymore. The Ravens play the Browns at 1 on Sunday, so the game's on, and that's what they do, and that's what they like to do. They don't like walking in the woods. They're not going to find a new hobby. You sound to me like you still watch sports. Hope you don't watch the Wizards anymore for your sake, or the Pirates for you, Seth. But none, except on the
Or the
nights when
Orioles,
Skeen,
for that matter.
except on the nights when Skeens is pitching. So, but that, like, I love sports, and my wife came in here in the freaking 11th inning. Of the here, I'll hold them both up for you, Seth, just because we can have a little fun here. The Pirates are playing the Orioles, but it wasn't 1979. Let Uncle Nestor tell you a story. We are family. So they're playing. It's the 11th inning. My wife comes in here. It had to been 10 o'clock at night on Tuesday night. The game's tied, and she's like glued to the set. And they're loading the bases, and Bassaio is about to hit his chalk walk off. And like we're watching the game. We don't have money on the game. And I said to my wife, I'm like, You do know these are two serious last place teams in the 11th inning of a September game. But you know what? We like baseball. We like sports, but I don't have money on it or what. Like, I don't even know why I'm watching. It doesn't, it's insignificant and I'm still watching it. And it's because it's what I do. I cannot imagine a life where some of these gentlemen that I knew at one point in my life, with notebooks full of every bet they ever made and why they made it, and all this meticulous thought that they had an edge, that you take that away from them. Tell me what treatment is, because it isn't a little house where you stop the sauce or you stop the needles or drug addiction. That I don't know what treatment even is, other than you have to stop associating the sports in that way, and maybe associate it to maybe closer to what me and my wife do, which is just the game's on, which is the way it's been my whole life. I hope we win, whoever we are, you know?
Now that's a great question. And at some point in time, our mindset does have to change. I don't crave those highs anymore because behind every high is a low. There's always a low around the corner. I want to be somewhere in the middle, but treatment looks like, so for me, like I said, I was suicidal. I had a plan in place. So I ended up in a psych ward and I ended up in another psych ward and then I ended up in a 28-day rehab program to address both the substance use and the gambling. That's when I was introduced to the Maryland Center of Excellence on Problem Gambling. They had a gentleman by the name of Michael Rosen that came in and spoke to me. So I was introduced to, the support groups and treatment and but I relapsed. I relapsed on alcohol out of treatment because I was still hopeless. My marriage, was over. I was losing my house. Things just seemed completely hopeless. I lost my business, but
All because of gambling, literally,
all
and
because of
alcohol too,
gambling.
right?
Yeah,
One and one A.
the alcohol led to serious marital problems, and then, like I said, I turned to the casino as an escape, and that turned into major financial problems. It was a combustion of things that just turned into a complete disaster. My life just exploded
So,
in
what
that
fixed
direction.
you? Like, what saved your life, Will?
And that's a great. It was support groups. It was talking to other people that had been through what I was going through and were able to share their lived experience for me. I got a lot of hope from that. I got just that little seed of hope to believe that recovery could work for me. And then, like I said, they say if you stick around long enough, a psychic change occurs, our mindset changes. Now I have a very growth mindset. To me, growth is the high now. I want to become the best version of myself I can be. I wasted 42 years or at least 25 years of my life, chasing highs. I want to spend the rest of my life trying to be the best version of myself I can be. And I don't chase those highs anymore, But if we stick around long enough, eventually that happens. So there's lots of different forms of treatment. There's residential treatment. We have at least four residential treatment centers that accept problem gamblers at no cost. We have IOPs, intensive outpatient treatments, if they just want to do, 3 or 4 hours a day in treatment, or we have just counseling, one-on-one counseling. They can do 1 or 2 sessions a week.
And
And
let's make sure we're not making a bet today, like literally, right?
exactly.
That like one day at a time, right? Like
And
that.
they can continue gambling. We can't tell someone with the gambling
Right.
addiction they have to stop completely. Maybe they just want to stop going to
See, with
casino.
booze, that you wouldn't,
No.
people I've known had a booze problem, don't ever offer them a
Well,
drink.
harm
You know what I
reduction is a
mean?
big
Like,
thing in the substance use field too. They believe that's saving lives too, medication management, things of that nature. Well, there's the same type of thing with gambling. Maybe they just don't want to go in the casino, but they still want to be able to buy their lottery tickets. But they have to be careful too, not to jump addictions, because I know people that all of a sudden were, big casino players, and the next thing they had a sports gambling addiction or a big lottery addiction. They're buying scratch-offs, but it's up to them. So they can work towards just reducing the amount of harm the gambling is causing, limited the amount of money, and the limiting amount of time they're spending on gambling per week. And they can see whether or not they're reaching their goals. And maybe over a period of time, they see that they're not able to control it and they can work towards total abstinence. Or maybe they do learn to control it. That's up to them. I know I personally can't control it. Once I open up, once I start stimulating that area of my brain, I'm going to want more. Just like if I take a drink, I'm going to want more alcohol. That's the way gambling works for me. But some people can, and that's up to them. They get to choose what their goals are.
I gambled this month, Seth. I went out to the Maryland State Fair. I went to Costas, and my wife got the Bet. She saw the horses. Oh, she loves the ponies, you know? So I bet on Speedy Alex in the ninth because Alex is my cousin. He wasn't so speedy. $5 exact the box, $5 to win. I lost 15 bucks. I'm fixed. There you go. I don't need to call 1-800 guy. I don't need any of that. I'm good and I can watch the games. So, Will, you're watching sports though, right? Like you still love sports.
It took me 3 to 4 years to be able to enjoy sports again in entertainment value.
You
Because I
didn't you
enjoy
stopped
sports.
watching the games to some
I
degree,
just
right?
had no interest, honestly.
Because you couldn't bet on it, you weren't interested in it.
I mean, I
Okay.
had bigger things to worry about. I had to turn my life around, and it took a lot of work get my life back on track. I was working a lot of hours. I was a single father, but eventually I found myself just being able to watch the games again like I did as a kid for entertainment value, to enjoy the athleticism, and that's a gift. I can turn off a game tonight. I don't have to worry about waking up in the morning and seeing what kind of damage I did to my account. You know what I mean? It's
Seth and I
really.
are Oriole and Pirates fans. We don't need to bet on this to feel bad about it. You know what I mean? Believe me, right? Well, give everybody the number and how to get in touch with you. I'm gonna have class adjourned, but you're gonna have to come out and have a crab cake with me at some point, somewhere along the line. Talk more about this because we're not one and done. You and me. I have a feeling. You and me.
So 1-800 Gambler is the national number now, regardless of the state you're in. They can also go to our website, helpmygamblingproblem.org. There's a self-assessment on there they can take. 9 questions. We'll give them a severity score. If they question whether their gambling may be a problem, there's lots and lots of resources on there. There's a list of all of our counselors that provide the no-cost treatment on there. I think all of our peers' direct cell phone numbers are on there too, if they want to call us directly rather than calling the 1-800 Gambler helpline number. So helpmygamblingproblem.org or 1-800-GAMBLER are the 2 ways to get in touch. And they can also text and chat with the helpline as well. They don't have to call.
All right, look, I'll get you back out maybe during the holidays. Seth, you'll make that all happen. Seth, my wife didn't win $1.8 billion, so I'm still going to be here next week for John Martin. I'm still going to be here for you no matter how this Browns Ravens thing and the Steve. By the way, Aaron Rodgers looks good. Joe Flacco looks good at least for 1 week. So I'm worried about football here. It's too much to bet on it, that's for sure, right?
I'm not sure what to think from 1 week of play, so I'm reserving my judgment.
I'm laying low as well. I hope that this was educational for people out there. We've helped some people out there. Certainly, it's been educational for me because I often wonder, all right, I call 1-800 Gambler. What happens? Who do I get? Do they put me on hold? I hope not. There it is. So in long form, some ways to help everybody. Because everybody knows somebody that's now gambling because it's on the up and up. It's easy to do. Just slow your roll, have some fun with it this weekend, watch the games. And as we all learned late into the evening on Sunday night, be careful betting on this. That's all I'm saying. You know, I mean, it was a 15-point lead with 4 minutes left to go. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570. Towson, Baltimore, we never stop talking. Responsibility and responsible gambling and Baltimore Positive. Stay with us.